Welcome back to today's episode. I wanted to share with you just some tips about carbohydrates because we're going to be diving into how and why low carb is not ideal for thyroid and for thyroid health and maintaining a good, healthy metabolism. And I think it's really important for us to know and understand that things like fruit is actually very beneficial for the body. One of the things I hear a lot is people trying to cut out fruit, not eat fruit. And let me be honest with you, I think you should eat fruit. I think you should be eating fruit over the chocolate and the cookies and the cakes and the chips and all of the different things. Now, with that being said, one of the things that we teach in the Hansen method is an ancient form of eating. And this has to do with how you combine your foods. Now, in regards to fruits, vegetables, those types of things, let's specifically kind of hone in on the fruit. So what I recommend is eating melon on its own. Don't eat it with anything else because of how it just breaks down in the body. It's great to just eat alone. It's great for a snack. Melons are starting to come in season because we're going into the spring, summer, fall, not fall, spring and summer. Now, any other fruits, so like apples and kiwi and bananas and oranges, those types of things, what I recommend is you eat it with some kind of fat. So some kind of nut butter to help slow down the absorption. And so it doesn't spike insulin levels and cause issues. Now, I want to tell you just a teeny tiny quick story. I ate watermelon with like barbecue chicken, and I was like, what the heck? I ate it after dinner as my dessert. Now, keep in mind, protein takes 2 to 3 hours to break down, and I bloated so bad. This was several years ago, and I went into my GI doctor and I told him about this experience. And he was like, oh my gosh, you need to go on the low FODMAP diet. You know, you need to cut out this, you need to do that, da, da, da. This is why you're having all these issues. Nobody is talking about the importance of learning how to combine your foods for maximum absorption. Eat all the fruit you want and learn the right combination. Without further ado, though, I do want to introduce our guest expert today, that is Caitlin. Caitlin lives in Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S. with her husband and two daughters. She has a master's in nutrition from Georgia State University and has completed her diabetic internship at Emory University Hospitals in Atlanta. She has several coaching certifications, including a specialty in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and integrative and functional nutrition. She practices virtually with clients from all around the world, specializing in helping women over 40 overcome weight loss resistance. She focuses on repairing metabolic hormone health, including thyroid, progesterone, and cortisol. She is a recovering low-carb eater herself, and after eating that way for over 20 years, her passion is now spreading the message that it is possible to eat carbs and heal your metabolism after years of dieting so that you can reach and maintain your goal weight for life. Welcome back to the Thriving Thyroid Podcast, where we choose to become empowered patients and take our health into our own hands. Hi, I'm Shannon Hansen, a Christian entrepreneur, a mom of three, and after dealing with my own health mysteries, I made it my mission to learn everything I could about the thyroid. I soon became certified as a holistic wellness practitioner, a functional nutrition practitioner, and a functional diagnostic practitioner, and so much more. After that, I founded the revolutionary thyroid program, the Hansen Method. As a health professional and a mom, I fully understand the importance of having a fun, simple, and sustainable plan for achieving a responsive thyroid. so I share actionable and practical strategies for developing a responsive thyroid so that the ambitious moms and women can gain freedom from fatigue and lose the thyroid weight once and for all. Each week, I will be here for you. Along with my guest experts, we will be sharing simple and tangible tips that work for not only your thyroid, your hormones, your family, and your mindset so that you can get back to living the life that you envision for yourself. Welcome to the Thriving Thyroid Podcast. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much for being on today's podcast. I am super excited to dive into this topic of carbohydrates and how that relates to our thyroid. So for all of our listeners, can you just give a little bit of background about who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you're at right now?
Sure. So thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this. I feel like there's a lot of confusion when it comes to carbohydrates. But I am from Atlanta, Georgia in the US, and I made a career switch right when I was about to have children and decided I wanted to go back to school. Went back and got my master's in nutrition and quit my job, my nice, cushy corporate job that I had, and started my family at the same time and graduated and became a registered dietitian and went straight into private practice, where I've only ever worked virtually with clients. And I work with clients from kind of all over the world, mostly based in the US. I do food sensitivity testing. I have a program that I run for helping with weight loss after 40. And I'm also a coach. So I help coach people through challenges that they're stuck with.
Amazing. So I'm kind of curious, what led you to going back to school to become a dietitian?
Well, when I was younger, I always struggled with my health. I struggled with my weight. I wasn't obese, but I was always heavier than my friends. And I never understood why, because we would eat kind of the same things. I was just as active. And looking back, based on what I know now, I realized a lot of the imbalances that I had growing up. You know, it just started when I was younger. And, you know, unfortunately, I got dealt that stack of cards where I struggled with really, really bad PMS and menstrual problems. Lots and lots of digestive issues. I had asthma, I had allergies, I had skin, you know, issues with eczema. So lots of anxiety. And my mom fed us very well, but I still struggled, but it got to a point where I was better. And so right at a young age, it piqued my kind of interest in nutrition as being very, very powerful, because she made some switches to what we were eating, and we saw improvements. And I was little, I didn't, you know, I just want to eat the, you know, Skittles or whatever was around. And she would kind of talk to me about, well, this is going to help you feel better. And so fast forward, you know, into my college years and my 20s, that was always kind of in the back of my mind. And since I was healthier, I just kind of started taking it for granted that this is just, you know, I just need to eat this way. And then when I had kids, things started to change, right? I went through and was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. And then I went on to develop Hashimoto's. And I just said, you know what I'm doing isn't working. I need to do some more digging, and I want to help people. And so I went into the research, discovered what it was that I needed to do, and got it in my brain. Like, I really want to help other people. I don't want other people to suffer with this. And so that's when I decided to go back to school, and here I am.
Amazing. I love that. And I love that my journey is really similar to yours in terms of I grew up eating really healthy foods. Especially considered, like, you know, healthy for
the early 80s, you know, 80s, 90s, when I kind of grew up, I mean, we didn't eat a lot of carbohydrates. I mean, and if we did, it was, you know, whole food carbohydrates like rice and beans. It wasn't a lot of processed foods. We didn't eat a lot of flour. We didn't eat a lot of cereal. Dinners in my home were lean meats and vegetables. You know, we would have grains, but my parents were very health conscious. And so I didn't grow up having, I'm going to say, a standard American diet where most of the foods that I was eating was processed. And so, you know, it's always nice to have someone with a similar background, because we don't relate to eating out, you know, three times a day or whatever it may be.
Right. Yeah. And it really also, just one other thing, it helped me learn how to cook, so I can have more control over what I am eating. And now I love it. Where, you know, when I was growing up, my mom, we cooked all the time. We never really went out to dinner. I mean, when we did, it was very, very special. And I think going out to dinner is great, but you don't have as much control over what's going in the food. And so I think it's different now. I think there are a lot more health aware kind of restaurants, but so I appreciate that, even though I really wanted to eat at McDonald's more or whatever when I was growing up. I'm appreciative of it now, because I am able to, you know, translate that into cooking better for my family, and then teaching clients, if you don't have to spend hours in the kitchen and become, you know, Julia Child or whatever.
Yes.
Get in and out, and it's not, you know, it's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like as I went through, you know, my professional background and training and stuff, I learned that we don't have to overcook vegetables, and, you know, we can season them different ways and they can taste better than what we thought. So yeah, I love that. So give us a little bit of background in terms of what are you doing now and what kind of women are you working with?
So my passion is helping women over 40 who are struggling with weight loss resistance to uncover what it is that is holding them back. Most of the time they are either under eating or maybe overeating certain foods, or under eating in general. So they're not supporting their metabolism. And then once we get the food figured out, if there's still challenges, then we look into more of the emotional aspect of food and the stressors in their life and how to help them kind of put it all into a nice, neat package where they've got the food figured out and they've got the emotional side of taking care of themselves figured out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love helping women, because a lot of, I'd say about half of them come to me and they're, you know, like, I've never had a weight struggle, but it's just been kind of in the past 10 years or since I had kids or when I turned a certain age. And then the other half have struggled more like me for a long time. And so whatever it is, like I said before, I hate watching people struggle. And if it's just information that they need, then let's share it, right? So,
yeah. Tell me a little bit more about under eating, because I feel like this is one of the things that I see with my women with, you know, thyroid, is they want so bad to lose the weight. So they're eating 900 calories, 800 calories, and going to the gym. So tell me, you know, what are your views on, you know, what does under eating look like for you and the women that you work with?
Yeah, it's a big thing. So if you think about it, your body has to have enough gas in the tank to run. It's just like in a car. We wouldn't expect a car to go 1,000 miles on half a tank of gas and then yell at it and beat it up and say, my gosh, I can't believe you didn't get me to my destination. Well, you didn't put enough energy, fuel, gas in the tank for it to get there. And so with our bodies, when you're under fueling, your body, in order for you to live, you have to have three main things working. You have to have your brain working, your heart working, and your lungs, right? If you don't have those, then you don't really live, right? You're not living. And so your body is going to shuttle the nutrition and the food that it gets and the fuel that it gets to those main parts of your body. And it's not going to care about if your hair is falling out. It's not going to care about your skin or your digestion or your moods. It's keeping you alive with your brain, your heart, and your lungs. And so when we're only eating that baseline or below your body, you're just causing more and more stress. And so it's so important for women to understand that, you know, you're just adding more stress to your body. And it's so much more fun to eat, you know, the right amount of food and feel better and get to your goal weight. It may take a little bit longer, but I always say we got to play the long game. This is not, it's not a quick fix.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up in terms of underfueling, because you're absolutely right. If we don't have adequate fuel sources in the body, you just can't run, right? We can't run. And there was something else I was going to say. I don't remember. I don't remember what it was. There was something else in there. That's why you should keep
it. It's also important to, you know, to remember where you're getting your calories from matters, right? Calories matter, but we put so much emphasis on calories where, okay, we'll figure that out. Like if I work with someone, they're like, how many calories should I eat? I'm like, I don't know. Your body knows. I can give you a range, but that's going to take some tweaking. But where we're getting those calories from matters even more. So if someone is dead set on eating 1,000 calories, then I would make sure that all of the food they are getting are metabolically, you know, going to help them, because they need to be pro-thyroid. And that's what I teach in my 12-week program for women over 40. So it's really important. You know, you can eat 1,000 calories of Snickers bars, or you can eat 1,000 calories of kale, or you can eat 1,000 calories of like a balanced, you know, carbs, proteins, and fats. And that's going to give your body what it needs. But we need to be eating more usually.
Yes. Well, and that's one of the biggest things women say to me when they come in is, I get to eat all this food. And I'm going to gain weight. Like they have so much fear and anxiety around the weight gain. I'm like, just trust me. Mm-hmm. You know, within a week or 2 weeks, they've dropped 2-3 pounds per week. And it's not because like their body was ready to let go of it, right? I know that's on the higher end of the weight loss, but their body was ready to let go of it because it was getting that adequate fuel sources that it needed, and not just the Snicker bar or the kale. It was getting the proteins, the carbs, the fats, like all of those building blocks that it needed to let go of that weight.
Exactly. Yeah. They really, you know, we've been led down this path for so long in the weight loss industry where, you know, we're just basically told eat less, exercise more. And so that's just been ingrained. And then we went through the low fat thing. And then we're still in the low carb thing, kind of in the keto and the carnivore and all these ways of eating. And it's like, it's made us so confused, and so it's just frustrating when you do the things and they're not working. And that's what finally got me to where I am now. It's saying no to all of that stuff and really going back to eating how my grandmother, you know, used to eat, where I get my fats and my proteins and my carbs from. She would recognize that. She wouldn't recognize protein bars, protein shakes, kale. They didn't have these kinds of things when, you know, when our ancestors were around. So it's really just getting back to basics, but people don't really trust that because they're like, well, you know, they're we're distracted by the shiny objects. Like, well, that magazine's telling me I can drop 25 pounds if I do this one thing and take this one supplement. So.
Yeah. And we've, like you've said, we've been conditioned for fast, quick, easy responses, right? We want a magic pill because that's also how our medical community has trained us. You've got thyroid problems here. I'm going to give you a pill. I'm going to help you fix it. Instead of saying, whoa, 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 let's back this up. What does your body need? Because it's missing a vital component, right? We know Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition. We know hypothyroidism is actually the root cause for that is malnourishment. And a lot of women don't believe that because they're like, well, you know, I'm 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight. How can I be malnourished? Because you're eating the wrong things. So,
right.
Tell me a little bit about why are carbs important for a healthy metabolism, healthy thyroid? Let's dive into that part.
Basically, it comes down to if you're eating low carb, and let me back up just a second and say, I was a 20-year low carb veteran, right? And so I did low carb and it worked for many years for me. And I was thrilled. I'm like, I just need to avoid carbohydrates as much as I can and I'll be good, right? And so I was, you know, hovering around my goal weight for a number of years, but then it stopped working. And I saw other people eating carbohydrates and I just started thinking like, why can't I eat carbohydrates and be at my goal weight? Right. And so I just went back and forth on this kind of teeter totter, like no carbs. Why can't I have carbs? Like the whole questioning. And so that led me to kind of doing all this research and then putting the research that I've, you know, come up that I didn't come up with. I found it and read it. And I know you do a lot of research too, but coming up with a way for women to understand what low carb is really doing to your metabolism. So to, you know, everybody asks or they say, well, I can lose weight on low carb. It's like, yes, but at what cost? What is it doing to you inside? And so I definitely raised my hand in that I was on that wagon and I did all the things and learned how to make cauliflower pizza and, you know, do the keto shakes and all those things, but then it stopped working. And what I realized is that chronic low carb dieting is a very stressful state for your body to be in all of the time, especially if you have digestive issues, thyroid issues, you know, mood, PMS. Those are all symptoms pointing to a very stressed out body. And so when you eat low carb for a long time, your body has to start relying on your own muscle and fat, which we're like, I want to burn fat if I want to lose weight. But relying on muscle and fat tissue for energy, for glucose, your body is going to start secreting a lot of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline to break down your own tissues to raise your blood sugar up to where it needs to be. And so that's a very stressful way to go about losing weight. So yes, low carb works, but it comes at a cost. You're literally breaking down your thymus gland, which is the gland in the middle of your behind your breastbone that controls your immune system. Mm-hmm. And so you're losing muscle and people will say, no, we're not, you know, and maybe if you're very healthy metabolically and you lift weights, then maybe not. But most of the women I work with, they're not big weightlifters. They just want to be at a healthy weight. And so as you age, you definitely don't want to lose muscle mass. We need to gain or keep our muscle mass so that we can get out of our cars and sit up, you know, stand up from sitting. And so as we age, we tend to lose those anyway. So that stressful state of being low carb really drives that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you said that because if we're not giving the body the building blocks, we go into that catabolic state, meaning you're breaking down the muscles that you have. And right. Yes, you may reach that ideal weight, again, like air quotes here, ideal weight, right. But like you're saying, at what cost, right? Mm-hmm. And when we carbohydrates, contrary to what a lot of people think, carbohydrates help rebuild the gut flora, right? When we're eating cruciferous vegetables, when we're eating carbohydrates, right? For the general term here, apples and things like that. It's rebuilding the gut flora, allowing for the absorption and the metabolism to happen. And so mm-hmm. I think that there's, you know, this misconception out there what carbohydrates are.
Yeah. I mean, we all saw the huge, I remember it was like 1997 when maybe 96 when Atkins was really, I mean, Atkins has been around for since the 60s, I think, but it really kind of had a resurgence back in the 90s. And people just dropped weight like that. I was one of them, right? I'm 5'9" and I got down to 141 pounds, right? And so that people were looking at me like, you might want to gain a little bit of weight, but I was so excited because I had never felt that thin before.
Yeah.
And I had all this energy, but little did I know it was really setting me up for suppressing my thyroid and really, you know, 20 years later, really setting me up for having to heal my metabolism from that. But, you know, the body is very resilient. It wants to be in a state of balance. And the good news is that we can do that with food, mm-hmm. right? So it's about learning and education and trusting. And if you're, the big thing that a lot of my clients struggle with are cravings. And like, I just can't, you know, I'm just craving sugar and I'm craving, you know, all these, this junk food and everything. It's like, well, cravings are telling you that your body is needing something. And it's usually carbohydrate. Because when you have carbohydrates, cravings usually go away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A turkey wrapped around some cheese isn't usually going to get rid of your cravings. It'll help you not feel hungry, but then you still have that craving. And so carbohydrates, where you're getting your carbohydrates from is so important for your metabolism and your thyroid. I teach my clients all about the benefits of fruit, and there are certain vegetables that I really, really like. And even maple syrup and honey. You know, I don't know what you teach in your program, but I teach people how to balance their carbohydrates with the proteins and the fats, because that's where we get a little confused, is not balancing them all correctly.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you there in terms of, you know, having some good natural sugars and things like that. I mean, the big goal, right? The overarching goal is to balance out insulin levels and to balance out glucose levels and things like that. But to get the right balance of the nutrition that you need. And there's benefits to having honey. There's benefits to having, you know, pure maple syrup, not the high fructose corn right. syrup, you know, fake stuff, but like pure maple syrup. And my kids, I love it. They're always like, Mom, we want the good maple syrup.
Right, right. Taught them well.
Yeah, they know the difference between, you know, going to Denny's or someplace and having like at home real pure maple syrup that comes, you know, from a maple tree. So
yeah. I'm saying here, never forget, just real quick. I had my daughters, we like dark chocolate, like the real dark chocolate, like 70+, you know, percent. And when my kids were little, one of them had a friend over and I gave him like a little snack plate and I put some things, you know, fruit and crackers and cheese and some chocolate on there. It was dark chocolate. it's rich, right? But we're used to it. And the little friend, she put it in her mouth and I saw her face kind of drop and she like ran out the door into the backyard and she spit it out because she's like, that did not taste good. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't have milk chocolate for you. But anyways, yeah, it was funny.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I feel like for me, I developed a love for dark chocolate. So start small, right?
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, but a lot of what we're fed is the milk chocolate, you know, which is right. very, very sweet.
Yes, definitely.
So go ahead.
No, I think mainly with low carb, it just comes down to you're stressing your body out. And again, some people can do low carb for a long time, especially if they're younger, like I was in my 20s, and I had kind of I had overcome a lot of health challenges that I had growing up. And you know, and so some people can go longer and they may, you know, low carb may work for them. But if you're coming from, you know, with the compromised liver, compromised thyroid, it runs in my family with thyroid issues, compromised digestion, all of these things, you know, it all, you're just adding more stress to an already stressed body. So eventually it's going to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I see is women will come in and they'll join like a boot camp or something. And so they'll get the meal plan from their gym. And they're like, I'm doing everything they're telling me, but I cannot lose weight, right? It's lower carb. It's more like paleo. And my friend next to me, she's lost 25 pounds. And I'm so frustrated. We're working out the same. We're eating the same. Like I literally eat with her. And I asked her, has your friend ever dieted before? And she said, no. And I said, and how many years have you dieted? She's like 45 years. And so again, low carb, keto, whatever, it will work.
Yeah.
If you haven't really already kind of damaged your metabolism, but then it eventually will stop. And so, yeah. So she, when the light bulb went off for her, she's like, oh my gosh, I got to do some repair work. I said, yeah. And the good news is you get to eat to repair your body. So
yeah. Oh, I love that so much because you're right. Women who have never dieted versus someone who is chronically dieted, it's totally different because when you've chronically dieted, you have hurt your metabolism, right? Yeah. You've kind of destroyed it in many ways. So I'm kind of curious, what kind of carbohydrates are best for women with thyroid and metabolism who are wanting to do that repair work?
So I love fruit, right? And I was scared of fruit because fruit had carbs, right? I was afraid of carrots, you know, carrots have carbohydrates and that's, now I know how beneficial both of those things are. But we don't ever want to eat fruit by itself. We always want to balance it with some protein, right? So fruit, one of my favorite snacks is, you know, some blueberries and some cheese. You know, I teach women how to have dairy. So sometimes it doesn't work and that's fine. We find something else. But you know, having some berries with some turkey or something like that to kind of balance the carbs and the protein, that's really important. So pretty much any kind of fruit, there are certain fruits like bananas and pineapples that tend to be a little bit, they've got a lot of serotonin in them. So I wouldn't really eat them before bed because that can kind of mess up your, just your digestion, and make it little bit harder for you to sleep well. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know, all these different things we're learning about food. But yeah, you know, apples, oranges, watermelon, melons, all the things that, you know, grapes, berries, I love them all. Mm-hmm. And then other carbohydrates that I really like are, you know, so you've got above ground vegetables and below ground vegetables. Below ground, you know, we think of potatoes. Oh, they're really starchy. They're really high carbohydrates. Those are really bad. And again, it's balancing that carbohydrate with the proteins and the fats is super, super important. So can we eat plates and plates of potatoes? Probably not. But do we need to totally shun them? No. And that's what I teach clients is how to incorporate, you know, things like the root vegetables back in, mm-hmm. Just having them in the right amount. So the sweet potatoes, potatoes, carrots. I love carrots, just raw. They're really good for your digestive tract.
Yes.
Because they're antifungal, they're antimicrobial. If you think about how they grow underground, they have to fend off all of these bacteria and fungus from invading it. And so when we eat that superfood, it helps sweep the intestinal tract so that we usually get better digestion from that. So raw carrots are great. I love above ground vegetables, the winter squashes, the, you know, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, lettuce, zucchini. I tend to stick more with those kind of carbohydrates rather than a lot of cruciferous vegetables, just because I find that I would never have like broccoli and cauliflower raw, but if you cook it enough, then it helps get rid of some of the anti-thyroid properties.
Yes. The goitrogenics. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And okay, so I have to stop here just really quickly because I mentioned in one of my previous episodes that, you know, you should be eating cruciferous vegetables and things like that. And I've got a few messages from women. They're like, I thought I wasn't supposed to eat those. And I was like, oh, I didn't say cook them, right?
Yeah.
When we cook them, it breaks down those goitrogenic effects and it's just a little bit better for us with thyroid issues. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah. And that's just the nuances. And I used to be that plates and plates of broccoli and cauliflower. I used to roast it and Brussels sprouts and cabbage. And I do love those things and I still have them, but I have some of the other vegetables more. And I did see an improvement in my thyroid markers, my improvement in my digestion when I reduced some of those, the other vegetables and went more for, it's kind of, I look for the vegetables that kind of resemble fruits and that they have seeds in them and that they're growing on a vine. So like the tomatoes, the zucchini, the squashes, whereas the other vegetables, you know, again, it's all about balance. And I teach clients how to track how that food is working for them. And so if you're tracking and your things are good, then keep it in. But if it's not, then let's pull it out or reduce it and see how you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you touched on tracking these things too, because one of the things for one of my clients, as we tracked, we found out that she was reacting to green beans. And that was one of the things, like, those are, like you said, those nuances that we just don't think about because we're like, oh, green beans are healthy. Where for someone, they could be reacting to it because of a food sensitivity or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do offer food sensitivity testing. It's a blood test and I do mainly people who have digestive issues and they want to do that kind of test, but I don't really use it with everybody. Mm-hmm. But definitely it helps once you, and it can be totally, you don't really understand why are you reacting to green beans? Well, we don't know. Maybe you ate them once when you were really stressed, you're on antibiotics and it messed up your gut microbiome and your body's just seeing it for whatever reason as a foreign invader, it wants to attack and make you feel bad, but you can take it out long enough. Your body will eventually drop the sensitivity most of the time.
I love that. Okay. That was actually going to be my next question is because I've also seen women that have come in to work with us and they've done these food sensitivities. They've cut them out for, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years. And then they have this short list of, I can eat these five things. And I'm like, wait a second. There was nobody that talked to you about reintroducing these foods.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because long-term we don't want to keep taking things out because at least what I've seen, and you can kind of chime in here, is when we take major food groups out or major foods out, we tend to replace them with processed foods, which long-term exacerbates a problem because no longer can we eat fruits and vegetables and, you know, grains and whatever it may be because we're reacting to them. And have you experienced something similar to that?
Oh, absolutely. I have people coming in saying, you know, I can only eat 10 foods and, or maybe less. And I'm afraid of food. And that is very, again, going back to the stress. Stress is terrible for the body in general, especially the thyroid. And so we have to kind of look at food as it's like medicine, right? And that we're literally building, I think it's better than medicine, honestly, but we're building our body from that food that we're eating. And so when we're afraid of the very thing that helps us build muscle and bone and eye cells and hair follicles and all these things, then that's when we need to just kind of take a step back and really start to kind of, you know, it's a process, but, and I get it. If you're not feeling well and you figure out the foods that help you from feeling bad, you're going to stick with those. But that's not ideal because it's stressful. You can't go out to dinner. You can't go to friend's house. Nobody knows what to feed you if you go over there. And so the thing is though, when you help your thyroid get back online, your food sensitivities tend to drop because your thyroid controls so much of your digestion. And that's really where a lot of us are struggling with our digestion. And so when you're able to, it's pieces of the puzzle. I always say, you know, we're fitting together the pieces for you, and there's not cookie cutter approach. Mm-hmm. I can give you general guidelines, but we're still going to have to personalize it. But it's not hard. It just takes someone who's trained, you know, to help you and who's been there. I've been there. I know what it's like to struggle, right? So.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that in terms of working with someone, because I mean, I go online and I read these Google articles about thyroid, and immediately I go to, well, there's an exception for this, an exception for this, an exception, you know, all of these different exceptions. And so they're really just providing you with basic information, right? General information that's going to last for or work for, let's say, 80% of people.
Right.
But most likely you're not the 80% of people. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be struggling with what you're struggling with. So I have one last question for you. When we talk about carbohydrates, how can we add them back into our diet and not gain weight from that? Because that is a big fear.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I say, you know, we have to kind of look at, and that's where it can help to start tracking. And I know tracking, like in a food journal or MyFitnessPal or Chronometer, it can be a little like triggering for some people if they were dieting a lot. But tracking, and if that's the case, then I probably wouldn't have them track, but we'd try to work around that. But most people, they're okay with tracking. And so I start just tracking what you're currently eating. And then we look at that, and usually they're pretty low carb, pretty high fat, or, you know, and or high protein. And so we need to kind of balance that out. And so I say, let's look where you are and then start adding in about 10 grams of carbs to your day. So keep, if you're eating 50, 60 grams of carbs a day, add in 10 grams of carbs for that week per day. So like take it up to, if you're eating 50, go eat 60 and do that for a week and then gradually increase. And we're tracking the things that I have them track, you know, I have keep a track of all their symptoms. And if we're seeing positive improvements, then we're on the right track. And so there's usually a threshold of when that tends to peter out, but that way you're not just like, boom, you know, going up to 300, going from 50 to 300 grams of carbs a day. That's not what we want to do. Your metabolism is already struggling and it's not going to be able to keep up with all that fuel. So that's usually what I have them start doing, is just gradually incrementally adding them.
Yeah. Well, and I like that you mentioned each person has their own threshold, right? Where I might be able to handle, let's say 80 grams of carbs per day, where you may only be able to handle 70 or 75 or something. And so we're kind of, you're helping people to push on the gas and pull off when they need to, because we can see things as practitioners that other people just can't see. Right.
And it's helpful too, like to not focus on the scale. Like I say, when people start working with me, I say, you're not going to get on the scale for a little while. Mm-hmm. And if they do that or not, I don't know, but that's what I recommend, because what I do recommend though is taking some measurements, just like your waist, you know, maybe your thighs, your arms, because what will start to happen as you start to rebalance and adding those carbs back in, and having the right proteins, the right fats, you'll start to build some muscle, even just doing very light exercises like walking and doing maybe some push-ups against the counter, that even just that little bit, you'll start to build muscle. And muscle is more dense than fat, body fat. And so you can have a very lean looking person who weighs 180 pounds and they look, you know, tiny versus another person that has a very high body percent fat, percent body fat is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And they look very different, but they weigh the same because fat is, you know, it takes up more space. Mm-hmm. And so as you're losing fat, but gaining muscle, that's going to mess with your mind if you're weighing yourself versus if you're looking at, you know, your measurements in inches and centimeters to kind of see where the shifts are there. That helps people through this initial phase where they actually see, oh yeah, I am getting smaller.
Yeah. My pants are fitting better. Yeah. Yeah. My pants are fitting better. I love that you mentioned that too, because one of the things I recommend for my clients, I'm like, put it up, put your scale up in your mm-hmm. closet. You've got to get a ladder, like put right. it somewhere where it's not in your bathroom. Yeah. Take your batteries out, like make you have mm-hmm. to work for it and make it so that you are very intentional and go more based off how are my clothes fitting, you know, mm-hmm. and especially with thyroid, we have about 10 to 15 pounds of just inflammation, right? So that can, once we bring the inflammation down, it's like, boom, all of a sudden you've dropped 10 to 15 pounds because you no longer have that as something right. you're battling.
Yeah. And it's also a psychological thing where really all your weight is your gravitational pull on the earth, mm-hmm. right? It has nothing to do with you and how good of a person you are. You know, some people would see they weigh 200 pounds and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I let myself get that way. I'm such a, you know, just hopeless. I'm never going to lose weight. And they have that kind of those thoughts and beliefs. And then that makes them feel sad or depressed, anxious. And so then they take action. They're like, screw it. I'm just going to eat more. I'm just going to, you know, forget this. And I'll just be over this overweight for forever. And another person might see that 200 pound number on the scale and be like, oh my gosh, I don't weigh 210 pounds anymore. I weigh 200 pounds. And so it's all in your perspective mm-hmm. and in the thoughts that we're having, but that 200, whatever it's 300 pounds, whatever it says has nothing to do with you as a person. It has to do with just inputs and outputs. And I know it's hard to look at it that way, and somebody's not going to just snap their fingers and say, okay, I'm fine with the number on the scale. But it just taking some of the emotion out of it. It's just feedback. That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, we run businesses, and that's what my accountant, that's what everybody tells us. It's just numbers, Shannon. You know, it's just numbers. Payroll it's just a number. You know, to run your business, it's just a number. Right? Mm-hmm. There's no emotion attached to it, even though it feels that way. But, and the same thing with our, you know, our worth, the number on the scale does not dictate our worth as a woman, as a wife, as a mom. And we need to kind of move away from that. But Caitlin, thank you so much for being here.
It went by fast.
It did go by super fast. So in closing, do you have one or two tips to share with the listeners? You know, what can they do? How, you know, to get started?
I would probably say, you know, listen to your cravings and just start adding in fruit, really. I don't know if, you know, like I said, I used to be so afraid of fruit, and I now have it basically with every meal I have. It's that sweetness, and that it really does help with cravings. It helps with insulin sensitivity because your body doesn't really need as much insulin. Fruit has potassium, and that potassium helps with your body's blood sugar regulation. It helps improve your insulin sensitivity. So I'd probably just start by adding in fruit. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It tastes good.
Cleans the liver.
It does. It's really, really good. Just have it with the proteins and some fats.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. Are there any last thoughts that you feel like the listeners need to know or understand about, you know, weight loss and their thyroid and things like that?
I think just kind of going back to, you know, working with someone who not only is trained in the science behind what to do to kind of help you through whatever it is you're going through, but also just have someone who's kind of an objective observer versus like relying on a friend or family member or your hairdresser to say, oh, I think I'm going to try this, where, you know, going to someone who can say, okay, and give you some feedback or really just be there to support you. I think it's really important to have that support and accountability from someone who, I don't care what people weigh, I just want them to feel happy and healthy in their body. Mm-hmm. And so my job is to help, you know, help them get there. And so I think getting that support and accountability is super important, and having patience and just playing the long game, super important.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. How can people find you on social media and connect with you?
So my website is just russellnutrition.com, 2 S's, 2 L's in Russell. And I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, Caitlin Russell Nutrition, and Caitlin's with a C. And I've got a free Facebook group, but it's all linked. So you can just go to one of the things and find, you know, how to find that free Facebook group.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. It will all be in the show notes. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here.
Thank you, Shannon. This was just a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you heard about the Hampton Method? The Hampton Method is our 4-month, 16-week intensive thyroid program that we work with women from all over the world to help them balance and align their thyroid hormones so that they can gain energy, gain freedom from fatigue, and lose the thyroid weight. This program is absolutely cutting edge because we do things like mineral balancing and helping you learn what the 4 phases of balancing your thyroid hormones are, which is 1, clean energy. We need to know and understand the right foods, the right fuel to put inside of our body, how to balance and pair foods together so that we don't have the digestive discomfort and we are able to properly break down and absorb the nutrients from all of our food. 2, learning how to get in those key thyroid nutrients, things like selenium and iodine, without having to take handfuls and handfuls of pills. 3, when it comes to food, is detoxing from dirty energy food. When we eat gluten, when we eat dairy in excess or other things that are causing food sensitivities, this can suck the energy and the life out of you. After we address all of the food and understanding what our body needs, we go into a personal protocol for you. I want you to learn the basics, but then I also want you to learn how to customize your plan specific to you. So yes, we do the functional testing inside of that. We give you a protocol that includes diet, lifestyle, and supplementation. And while you're working on that protocol, we're teaching you other things like learning how to map your symptoms, how to connect the dots, how to tune into your menstrual cycle and the body pain and the aches and the hair loss to put together a plan for you so that you know what the third part is, your thyroid blockers. Those little thyroid blockers are bad little buggers because they block your thyroid hormones from making, converting, and working properly. And then the last step is opening up those detoxification systems using our lymphatic system. We see the lymphatic system being overworked, overburdened, overstressed, and strained. And that is causing the muscle aches and the poor detoxification, the swelling, the puffiness, all of the yucky symptoms that we are experiencing every single day. This program is second to none. It is cutting edge. We work with you both in a group setting and a one-on-one setting so that you can get all of the help, all of the support that you need, in addition to being able to communicate with us through our app, through with our team every single day. If you are interested in booking a free consultation, a thyroid breakthrough call, head over to the show notes, schedule your call, and do it before the end of April, because at the end of April, we are increasing our prices, and I want you guys to be able to come in with the most amount of benefits, the most amount of bonuses, and obviously for the cheaper price. So don't hesitate. Go click on it, get it scheduled, come to the call, and let's look at what it looks like to work together through the Hansen method, but also make sure that this is the right fit for you in balancing your hormones, balancing your body, and getting back to your life so that you can gain the freedom from fatigue and lose the thyroid weight. I'll see you on the call.
Wait before you go.
Please subscribe if you found value in today's episode. Leave us a review and share on Instagram, and please tag us.
We love your reviews.